I don't know how many of you have ever sat through a traditional three-hour service on Good Friday and have heard sermons on the seven last words of Jesus. Across the years, as I look back on it, I believe I've preached a number of times on each of the seven words. I don't really want to preach this evening, but I want to just go over those seven sayings from the cross again this evening, and trust that as I do, the application will be from God to you in your heart where you need. This afternoon I just sat down, opened my Bible, I have a red letter edition so the words of Jesus stand out. You can do it in about a half hour. The Gospels, the last entire third, just about third to a quarter of the Gospels are taken up with the last week of Christ's ministry, and particularly His passion. And when we come to the crucifixion, none of the evangelists give us all the sayings from the cross. And yet as we put them together, we hear these words from Luke. I won't give the references each one, but just the evangelist from Luke, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." From John, "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother." Again from Luke, to the thief, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." And again from John, "I am thirsty." Both Matthew and Mark have the words of separation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then John gives the words of triumph or completion, "It is finished." And then Luke, the beloved physician, again, words of commitment, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Just a brief look at each one of these words, forgiveness, "Father, forgive them." We look back and almost instinctively we think of those villains, those rough people who nailed Jesus to the cross. Yet those villains were forgiven. And so are we. That's why He came. The words of human family and filial love, "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother." And what a tremendous thing Jesus said there in that carrying out the great responsibility of the salvation of the world. He didn't cancel out the fact that He was a dutiful son. And He told us by that faithfulness to His mother that when we really are true to God and true to what God wants us to do, it doesn't make us less in our relationships to those we love. But God has a way of carrying those things out. People don't cheat on their human responsibilities in order to fulfill their responsibilities to God. Then there were three crosses on Calvary. And the thieves spoke to Jesus. They spoke to Him in words of accusation. They spoke to Him in words of beseeching. And from the jaws of death, one of the thieves is snatched from hell. He wasn't baptized. Never had a time to join the church. But he said, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." I made fun of the chorus, and I probably make fun of it again. "Do, Lord, oh, do, Lord, oh, do remember me." And yet the little Cambodian man up in Lowell yesterday gave his testimony. Different culture. I couldn't tell if he was 18 or 40. You know, just different. And yet, what a ringing testimony. And he said, it was John 3. God so loved the world. He didn't even have 16 in there. He didn't know it was 3:16. What, you know. But then he said, I went home and I thought of the chorus they sang, do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. And he said, he did remember me. That's what the thief said, remember me. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. The classic statement on that is, one was saved that no one need despair. Only one was saved so that none dare presume. Don't wait till your deathbed. And yet we serve a God that delights in snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Then the word of humanity. Jesus suffered. He said, I thirst. The most acute suffering, perhaps, they tell me that there is. What this says to me is that Jesus knows when I hurt. Somehow it tells me, too, that Jesus is crying, I thirst today. When we hear other people calling for help, the word of humanity. Then the words that to me have always been the most mysterious, inexplicable. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, we explain it so well. God the Father turned his back on the Son and so on. And yet this separation in the eternal fellowship of the Godhead, this awful darkness that Jesus experienced. My God, why? And in that hour, somehow, Jesus was terribly alone. And yet he has promised that we will never be alone in life or in death. Then the words that might be the last words, they're the last words John records, said Jesus cried with a loud voice. Hardly the way a man slips into eternity, but he cried, it is finished. By that he didn't mean, it's all over for me. These were not words of surrender, of defeat. They weren't words of an end, but rather of a completion, sort of a dedication of a bridge type of thing. It's finished. And now you can come from earth to heaven. It's finished. Jacob's ladder is completed. It's finished. The plan of salvation is complete. And then finally, Luke records the words of commitment. In the darkness, in the anguish, in the agony, Jesus knew the words of Psalm 16:10. Thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. And he had the confidence that even though he had known that awful separation, that God the Father was faithful, and so in confidence, as a human being, he committed his spirit into his Father's hand. I have no further application this evening. The words are there. They're precious words. They're Christ's legacy to us from the cross. May he bless them to our hearts.